Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
To talk all things Cleveland Guardians, he is Guardians TV analyst Chris Jimenez. He joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
It's always great to have you. We saw the Hosey thing a little differently last night. I am a little more old school. I either wanted somebody plunked or I wanted vote tossed from that game in that moment. I think my partner more was looking towards as an opportunity for Steven Vogt to get tossed. As a former player, when you see that happen and how things played out yesterday, was that a missed opportunity to make a statement if you're Steven Vogt and the Guardians?
I don't think it was. I actually think he did a pretty good job of making the statement, ultimately, without even getting himself thrown out of the game. I think a lot of us, truthfully, would have loved to have seen him get super animated, get kicked out of the game. And, I think it goes a long way in the clubhouse for sure. But the fact that he went out there and he kind of got, in the face of the opposing manager, I'm in for that. Truthfully, to me, that shows that not only does he have our backs as players, but I think he was also being extremely smart in how he was doing it, trying to fire the guys up. Obviously, the game did not go well, even though, especially early on, we put some really good swings on Kevin Gausman. It just nothing really to show for it. It turns out when Miles Straw is in center field, things don't really drop like they do with other center fielders. And unfortunately, we found that out the hard way.
Can you explain what's happening right now? I'm going to give you a couple instances throughout the past three games that kind of just, stood out to me. The first one being Jonathan Rodriguez on the Ernie Clement play, just kind of jogging down the line and really not giving any effort there. And then it happened again with the Andrés Giménez play that he was involved in as well. And then the other one is, even though it was a Manzardo error, I get that and understand that, the play yesterday where he throws to the plate and Bo Naylor's picking dandelions, it's not even looking at the ball as it's coming towards him. Like, what is going on here with some of the mental lapses and even just the lack of effort that seems to be given off here?
Right. I think first of all, with the mental lapses, I think it's everybody on this team trying to be the guy. We saw that on the last road trip, especially how it started off early in Seattle. You could tell there was some tenseness at the plate. Steven Vogt's come out multiple times and said, we need to get back to playing the type of baseball that we play, style of ball that we play, meaning we have scrappy at-bats. Not one guy is going to win it or lose it for us. And I think you're trying to see somebody step up and make a play. Now, in times like this, obviously that particular scenario did not go great because you love the fact that he's at least willing to make, somewhat of a play like that. But I think the best case scenario right there would be turn around, get the out. I think I see guys thinking too much. You know what I mean? That's probably the best way to describe it, is everybody out there is thinking far too much. They're not letting their baseball instincts come into play. And when this team is really good, instinctually, they're very good as well. They don't necessarily have to think about a play beforehand. It just happens. They've maybe pre-thought it, and then it's there. Now you use your eyes to go out there and make the judgment call on the field. In regards to the lack of hustle, that's a little more concerning, especially from a young guy. When you've got the best player on your team that never takes a playoff and Jose Ramirez, I think that there's probably going to be some words had to Jonathan Rodriguez that, listen, we understand, maybe it's not going the way you want it to offensively, but that's not going to cut it at this level. And trust me, like I said, Jose hustling around does so much, not only for himself in the numbers that he puts up, but what it does and shows the younger players on this team.
So to the first part of what you just said there, and because I think we've talked a lot about it, you can see guys pressing. You can see, and whether it's at bat or in the field. And while I don't agree with Steven Vogt's comments that we're a great lineup, I do think they're much better than the worst lineup in baseball.
For sure.
So, who gets this righted? How do you write this? Whose job is it? How do you get this thing from where it feels like? I mean, I think you've won 2 of your last 7 or 8 series.
Right. I mean, again, very fair question. I think ultimately it resides on the players, but I think it resides on the players in the sense that there needs to be a little bit of an adjustment in the approach that you see at the plate. Again, I know how hard it is, and it's natural human instinct to want to be the guy. It's like, don't worry, guys, hop on my back, follow me, I got this, we'll get this thing rolling. That's when you start pressing a little extra. When you just allow the game to come to you and take what the game gives you. So you can't hit a 5-run home run, you know, if you're down by 5 runs. And I know that's pretty cliche, but I think for this particular team, it actually fits very, very well, because I felt like I've seen, especially the last road trip, up there trying to make something happen as opposed to letting the game come to them. And what I mean by an approach change is getting back to what this team should be really good at. It's having really grindy at-bats, you know, not giving yourself up, not trying to hit the long ball. I don't necessarily think this team is particularly equipped to hit long balls with the best in the league. Yes, can they do it? Of course. Of course they can. But that doesn't necessarily mean you need to pick and choose your spots to do it. You need to go out there, have quality at-bats, try to keep the line moving for the next guy. When this team does well offensively, that's the type of approach they have. Very grindy at-bats, constantly trying to get the ball moving for the next guy. Let the next guy be the hero. That's the approach that I think they need to get back to.
Should Chase DeLauter be up in the big leagues?
You know what? That's a fantastic question, and obviously one that everybody is asking. Truthfully, this is probably not going to be a popular answer. He needs to prove that he can stay healthy. And I mean that with the utmost respect to the young man, because if he was healthy this entire season, he most likely would be here right now. And my guess is he will be there at some point. But there's really no rush, truthfully, for his sake. Yes, maybe offensively he would provide a spark that we saw, you know, last year when Kyle Manzardo came up and, you know, some other players like John Kenzie Noel. This team could use that at the big league level, but you also have to think what's best for the player. You can't expect a young man to come up and play 2 or 3 days and then not play again for the rest of the week. Like, they need to show, or he needs to show the organization, that he can stay on the field. And again, no fault of his own. It's just sometimes these things happen. He needs to show the organization that he can be healthy and stay on the field and be productive, because it doesn't do them any good if he comes up to the big leagues and he gets hurt the third game in. Now we're sitting in a situation where not only is he collecting service time, which, again, I could care less about, I just think he's losing that development time in the minor leagues and the big leagues if he's hurt.
Chris, when it comes to – I might have asked you something similar to this a couple weeks ago, but I, you know, just to get back to the idea of the young lineup pressing – I've always believed, at least with bullpen guys, you know, it's easier to have, like, you're my seventh inning guy, you're my eighth inning guy, you're my high leverage guy, you're my closer, because relievers are such creatures of habit. I also think it wouldn't be the worst thing if we just locked into a lineup where it's like, Angel knows he's going to be the 9-hitter, Bo knows right. He's going to be the 8-hitter. Do you see value in that, or is a hitter is that what makes maybe hitting different than a bullpen guy?
Well, definitely that's what makes hitting different than a bullpen guy, because no matter where you hit in the lineup, the approach should be the same. You know, I know sometimes hitting down in the lineup can actually be a benefit to a lot of these young guys, because they're not getting pitched necessarily as hard as they would if they were either hitting in front of Jose or behind Jose, more than likely. I do feel like, though, from a reliever standpoint, they understand that, number one, this is how it is, right? That they're on and okay with the program of this. And we were so lucky last year that these guys came out. Most of them were extremely
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Fresh to being bullpen arms. I mean, you look at Hunter Gaddis in particular, you know, Cade Smith had been in the bullpen. Tim Herron had been in the bullpen, but Tim Herron was a starter 2 years before that. So was Hunter Gaddis. Now at the big league level, being in the bullpen and in the minor league level is pretty significant difference. They took to it quite well. They understand they're high leverage guys. Just because it's the seventh inning, that might not necessarily mean it's the highest leverage of the game. The highest leverage of the game could very well be in the fifth inning. And I think we're starting to see a swing of that. You know, Terry Francona was so good at that with Andrew Miller back in the day in particular. In our playoff run in 16, he used him in the highest leverage situations, and you can figure it out from there. What we have to our benefit this year and last was we have multiple guys that you feel comfortable with throwing in those high leverage situations. You know Class A's got the ninth. From there, you can work backwards to, if it is a high leverage situation in that sixth inning, guess who's coming out of the pen? It's Cade Smith. And if that situation happens to be in the eighth inning, it's Cade Smith coming out. After that, it's Hunter Gaddis. It's Tim Herron, especially if there's a left-hander, you know, in this lineup and you're taking the platoon advantage. So it is a significant difference, but I think the bullpen in particular, these guys are so used to it and they understand that leverage doesn't necessarily mean 7, 8, and 9. It could be 4, 5, and 6, truthfully.
Do you feel like the Guardians platoon too much?
I don't think too much. I just think they're still trying to find – there's so many young players on this offense that it's extremely difficult, right? Because hitting in the big leagues is hard enough as it is. You've got Jose Ramirez, who's literally the best in baseball at it, and he does it from both sides of the plate. But again, he's only one man, and I feel like you're going to go through some of these growing pains at times. And again, we saw it last year at times, but I think overall this offense was built differently than it is this year. They need to be a little more reliant on those quality type of bats. Not that they didn't last year, but when you've got a guy like Josh Naylor and David Fry for an entire season that can drive the ball out of the ballpark, if you make a mistake, it changes the way opposing pitchers attack our hitters. We don't have that necessarily big bopper in the lineup, in the heart of the lineup, besides Hosey. So they changed the way they pitch to our offense, and I think our offense is just having a little bit of a slower time adjusting to that pace.
How close are we to the rotation breaking through and being consistently a top 10 rotation?
So that is an awesome question. Honestly, I really like where our rotation's at. Slade Ciccone has been fantastic since he's come back, start the season. It was a little bit of a rough start for him in particular, but I think he's really starting to understand the type of pitcher he can be and the type of pitcher he used to be. You know, that's a significant difference. Give Carl Willis about as much credit as you could possibly give, because they saw something in this young man that I don't know if many other organizations saw, including the one that drafted him in the Arizona Diamondbacks. And that's not a knock on the Diamondbacks. They tried to do their best with him, but Carl has gotten the best out of Ciccone. I think Gavin Williams, truthfully, I know this has been an extremely up and down season for him. He's got arguably the best stuff on the staff. I mean, you got a rotation headed by Tanner Bibee, who's an absolute dog. Even though yesterday the line ultimately looks terrible because we didn't score a run, he ended up giving up 3 runs, but he's going to give you a chance to win a baseball game. Is he a guy that's going to go out and punch out 14 or 15 every night? No, he's not. And I think he understands that as well, but he's going to give you an opportunity to win a baseball game, keeping your offense close enough to where you can be within striking distance. And then you add in Luis Ortiz. Truthfully, I'm really excited about him and Ciccone in particular. What's not to be excited about Gavin Williams and Tanner Bibee, but now you add two more young starters. Luis Ortiz has arguably some of the most movement in baseball, and he throws the ball 98 freaking miles an hour. The hardest thing for him is learning how to truly control it, because any given day, the ball could move up to 26 inches and it could be at 18 inches one day. So having to learn how to figure out to control that can be difficult, but I think he's done a really good job. He's really settled down. He's had a couple of rough starts, which again, all young starters will have, but I could not be more excited about this rotation, truthfully. I think that is the hallmark of our organization. And then you add in this bullpen, which has a chance to be pretty good. I think the problem we get into is understanding these guys know they have to go out there and throw up a bunch of zeros. And if they give up a run or two early in particular, it's really, really tough because the offense has had a hard time, you know, being able to combat that as well.
Chris, I saw some side-by-side comparisons of the career that Jose's had versus Nolan Arenado, who we'll see tonight. And then the WAR is basically identical. A lot of the numbers outside, I mean, Jose obviously steals bases in a way sure. that Arenado just doesn't, but a lot of the numbers are just so incredibly similar. And part of me got excited by that because I think Nolan Arenado is a great player, but the other part of me was like, Arenado at the end of the day is going to be considered a very underrated player. It'll probably just barely, it'll be in the Hall of Very Good, not the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Well, the difference between J-Ram and Arenado when it's all said and done, is it just these upcoming couple years where Arenado seems like he's fallen off, and then if J-Ram can continue to play at the high rate that he's played?
I think J-Ram's a Hall of Famer already, truthfully. I think what he's done from a third base standpoint in particular, nobody's stolen more bases in baseball than Jose Ramirez. From the third base position, he's continuing to walk up the, you know, the organizational leaderboards. And I think too, Arenado gets a little knock for that, truthfully. Yes, he gets a knock for playing in Colorado, which I don't know is necessarily fair, But I think switching organizations like that gives you also a little knock in regards to how the voters used to vote. Now, that regime is really renewing itself, so to speak. There's a lot of that old guard that is getting out of the voting for the Hall of Fame, and a lot of newer age, you know, writers, guys that have understanding, or gals too. I mean, just people that have understanding of common metrics that are utilized in today's day and age. I think those people truly understand the value of what Jose brings, because he affects the game so many different ways. You know, Arenado's WAR is also so high because defensively he's better than Jose Ramirez. Not that Jose Ramirez is bad, but when you have 7 or 8 consecutive gold gloves with a platinum glove mixed in there, it's easy to see, right? Jose doesn't have that to his resume, but he's done offensively what Nolan Arenado could not in regards to the longevity of it. As soon as he got out of Colorado, those numbers came back down to earth a little bit, and he's had a hard time kind of keeping that up, where Jose's been extremely consistent the entire time. So I think ultimately Jose has a better career. Again, not a knock on Arenado by any means, because he's a hell of a third baseman and a good offensive player as well. But I think ultimately we're looking at a walking monument who will have his statue out in center field there at some point after he retires.
Chris, Slade Ciccone was on our midday show yesterday, and they thought his middle name, because of the internet, they thought his middle name was Gustav, and apparently it's Devin. Have fans ever come up to you thinking they know something about you and they get it dreadfully wrong?
Well, yeah. You can tell my last name is, you know, it's not necessarily American, I guess you could say, but it's not Spanish either. It's Spanish. And everybody thinks that I just, you know, because I have an EZ in my last name, that I just speak fluent Spanish. Or they're telling me that I'm pronouncing my own last name wrong. And I've had that quite a few times, actually.
Andres didn't help you around these parts here, Chris.
Yeah,
you were before him, but he didn't help you. Yeah.
That's all right. It happens. I'm used to it at this point.
Chris, great stuff, man. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you down the line. Hopefully get a couple Guardians victories here.
Let's go get a couple victories, and let's reconvene and have another conversation we can have a little more positivity with. I like it.
We're ready for it, buddy. Thank you so much. Chris Jimenez there, former Cleveland Indian, now Guardians TV analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, where the Browns might be underrated in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.